Silly Beagle Productions presents Physics in Action, a podcast which shows physics in our everyday world, reaching beyond the scope of the standard textbook.
Each episode brings you applications and analysis of physics in such diverse settings as sports, movies, video games, and television.
We also take a look into the frontiers of physics exploration.
And don't forget, interviews with exciting personalities on the leading edge of physics, innovation, and application.
So join us for our trip into the fantastic world of physics. And don't forget, you can always check out our website at physicsinaction.com.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of the Physics in Action podcast. I'm here with the APC class, who just finished their exam yesterday. Guys, how did you feel about your preparation going into the exam?
Study groups are definitely the way to go.
Yeah, we all went to breakfast the day, like the morning before the exam, and then we went over to my house and studied for like 3 hours, and it definitely helped. We like looked at some exact problems that ended up being on the AP. And
taught each other everything.
Yeah, and just going over old APs really helps.
And like equations that we went over, literally, I mean, it would show up right in the multiple choice. Yeah, so you absolutely just need to know the equation. So that was awesome.
That's true. And for E&M, I'll say that I looked online and found stuff that we didn't go over in class. And I found some really similar examples to stuff that they did just by looking at what year they did what and like what was rolling around. So I felt confident for some of the E&M stuff that I saw in the part twos in particular.
I feel like some of the independent work that we did was some of the most solid work that we did.
Yeah. Was that because we read the book, or?
I think it might have been because we
read the book. Yeah. Yeah, read the book.
Yeah.
Everybody.
What do you think, Dan? Were you prepared?
I didn't need to study much for this, my Eagle project, but on the day of the exam, I got up like real early and just studied straight to the exam. So I thought that the studying directly before it helped me out a lot.
Hey, buddy.
How'd it go, Dan?
What did you do to prepare, Carrie?
I looked over the formulas a lot, which helped in the multiple choice. And I mean, we had them for the part twos, but just knowing the formulas and what you're given and what you have to solve for really helped.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to know how to use the formulas too, because you know they give you the formulas, but I mean, until you know how to use them, they're really useless. So,
and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it seems like they are focusing so much more on making sure you actually know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Explaining yourself and going through things, not just, I mean, you can know what you're doing, but you even have to know the significance of the numbers that you're solving
right,
for.
Right, absolutely.
Which I think is really cool, because that's the application. Yeah.
Yeah. For E&M, make sure you know Maxwell's equations called. FRQs, they answer like every single one.
For a full 10 minutes, I'd forgotten what Ampere's law was. And I stared out the window, and then I heard the penetrated current. It was all good.
So what were your initial thoughts when you first saw the questions?
Well, normally there's like a big shock when you first see the question, and you're like, oh my God, like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And then you start reading it, you read it over again, and you take it slow, and you just start with question with part one, and once you get it, you know, things start to click. And, you know, if you can't get it, you skip it and come back after you've worked on something. And after a while, everything starts to come together, and you start getting, but there's, at first, there's a big scare, because, you know.
I think one of the biggest things for me was when you open it up and you look at the first question, you might be like, not in the zone yet to be doing physics. So if you move on and just find something that you're comfortable with and you can do easy, then once you start working on it, you get more into that mental state and you can go back and then maybe you're thinking in the right direction.
These tests are structured so that most of them, at least for parts of problems, they lead you through. So if you start at one place, then you might remember the next step and then the next step until you finally get to, you know, you've completed most of a question.
Which was harder, the mechanics or E&M?
Mechanics.
I think most of us thought E&M was going to be harder going into it. Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but mm-hmm. it was completely the opposite for me. I think mechanics was a lot harder than E&M this year.
Yeah. I think we should have started our mechanics prep earlier.
Yeah.
That's our fault.
I think the big deal is the theory of it down cold, because those mechanics questions, I don't think were anything that we could have looked at examples for.
No, they were very obscure.
Yeah.
I think mechanics has never really been all that hard for me. I think part of it might have been just having done it so long ago. Having done the half year of E&M, I thought I was comfortable with mechanics because I was good at it when we were doing it. But so I didn't pay much attention to go back and look at it a whole lot. Like I covered some of it, but I was mainly focusing on E&M because I thought that was my weak side.
Yeah, I agree.
There's always like some things that you think you studied for mechanics and then you realize that, oh, maybe you looked over it, but you didn't like go through the problem. You didn't realize like the process of some certain questions that you used to know how to do and now are lost.
Very interesting. What was the easiest part of the test?
I'd say one of the multiple choice, probably.
Yeah, like
E&M. I think E&M
multiple,
multiple
choice.
That's
what a lot of people are saying.
E&M multiple choice.
Yeah.
And the hardest?
Mechanics.
Yeah. Especially, we did the differential equations that they did beforehand, so that was like the easiest part of
right.
that, which was surprising, but. Definitely the mechanics was pretty hard for the FRQs.
Yeah.
If you could go back in time, would you change anything about your preparation?
Absolutely.
I'd
think
look more
maybe doing test corrections after every test so that you study what you didn't know and then you have all those test corrections in like a folder or in your notes that you can just look back and say what I have difficulty with. And then how do I know now how to solve that?
Sure.
I think I would try to look for creative ways to mix things together, almost like making my own problems and kind of just get used to everything flowing together, because you can know every single topic down cold. And I think we all know our equations pretty well, but when it comes time to connect them and figure out and know when to use what, you know, when do I convert to energy or, you know, when do I use kinematics and should I be even talking about momentum here? I think those are things that would be cool to think about on our own before the exam.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'd say, like, in the same sense, rather than, like, creating your own problems, I personally would have studied, like, theory behind each equation because I did, like, a lot of grunt work before the test thinking that would, like, really see some things that I'd be familiar with, and that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's a test of understanding more than I understood. So go to the theory behind the equation. And then go from there when you study.
Yeah, I feel like the physics exam, there's so many more possibilities comparing to the calc exam, where you can grind out a lot of problems, and it's pretty similar when you go in and you kind of know what to do, but physics, you really have to think about what's going on, and it's going to be a new experience every test.
Well, I mean, in calculus, you know, like, question one, well, obviously it was question three this year because of the non-calculator deal, but question one was always area and volume, and question six was always Taylor polynomials. So you can, like, do those over and over again, and it'll help you, but in physics, like,
you don't really
they can mix
that. You don't have that, right. There's so many more possibilities because there's way more formulas in physics, you know what I mean, and they have so many more things they can test on. Yeah.
Also, for the multiple choice, there's more questions per time when you're comparing to calculus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more concept-based. They're more knowledge formula-based as opposed to, you know, working with the data that you're given.
Yeah, I think you're very heavily rewarded for knowing certain relationships down cold and multiple choice time-wise.
Yeah,
I think even, something that I didn't really look a lot on was even like units. Like they would ask what could be a possible unit for work, and you have to know that it's like force times distance, you know. So like they would give you a certain unit for force and a certain unit for distance, and if it wasn't, you know what I mean, like
also one of the interesting questions was about what materials you'd have to use if you were to do a lab and measure an unknown. So you say.
And how much is like too much and how much is just enough.
What's the minimum requirement you would need?
Yeah.
Sufficient.
Yeah, and I think if I was going to do my prep over again, I would probably do more multiple choice and just try to like maybe sit down with a timer because, you know, I studied a lot. Like I did probably like two or three full like FRQs from an old test, and I did an E&M multiple choice and mechanics multiple choice and just packets and stuff like that. But I think what I would do next time, if I had it next time, I would like set a timer, 45 minutes, sit down with 35 mechanics multiple choice, and just try to crank it out, work on pacing and stuff so that, you know, you don't get like left behind and miss a couple questions at the end or something.
And definitely during the exam, I mean, I had to pull it out of, we had a very new proctor. It was our first exam, I think.
Yeah.
Doing
we were telling her how to proctor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was bad because she didn't write the stop time anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, the time is so important. You can't spend 30 seconds worrying about time, you know, but you need to know the time.
Right.
And so I had to ask her, like, when are we stopping?
Seriously, we're like 10 minutes into the exam, we're all writing around, like, question 11. She's like, oh, wait, guys, you guys can stop in, like, 25 minutes from now.
Yeah.
I remember doing that, looking up around for, like, a board with a stop time.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And then I was all the way, like, up in this little hallway, and I had to, like, look over my shoulder to try and see the clock.
Yeah, so I would say always bring a watch, and then you can just look at your watch.
Mm.
Yeah. But it can't be.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Analog watch.
Yeah. So bring us that.
Right, there's a window.
So now that you've finished most of the course, with the exception of some fun stuff we're going to do in the next couple weeks, what advice would you give next year's APC class?
Read the book.
Read the book.
Read the book.
It's not going to seem important throughout the year, though. Like, I didn't feel it was extremely necessary, like, as long as I knew what I, like, if as long as I could follow along. But I think, like, having read the book for some of those independent units, like, read closely, mm-hmm. I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, the textbook that we use is really good. He knows the calculus really well, obviously, but he's also very good at walking through the steps that he used, you know, finding the differentials.
And you should try to derive the equations that you're given so you understand where they come from. And then, you know, when it comes to the test time, you've already derived that. You know what that is. You can just write it down because you know. You've been there. You've seen it. You know how it works.
And, Walter Lewin videos, he's deriving the formulas, and the same with Mr. Fullerton in class sometimes walks through a derivation of formulas, but I think it's really important that you actually derive them yourself too, because sometimes when you're following along watching someone derive, you think you're understanding what's going on, but you're really just, you're only seeing them do it, you're not actually grasping the concept like you should be. So if you're actually thinking through it yourself, I think that's helps a lot.
And also, I think the exam is going in the direction of actual understanding of what you're doing. So that would mean throughout the year, make sure you know what you're solving for. If you find yourself just plugging into equations, make sure you ask yourself, do I know what this actually means? And if you don't, then ask someone around you, ask Mr. Fullerton, because it's going to be very important for all the tests to come, I'm pretty sure.
It's true.
I think maybe one more thing is, because maybe I'm biased because I read the book, so I felt like reading the book was, you know, just something you do as part of the class. It helped me a lot. Understanding the theories, I guess don't get too proud and, like, watch a lecture and then read some notes and think, like, oh, yeah, I've mastered this. Like, go over it again and again until you can figure out every single scenario you put in.
Any last thoughts?
Those were my last thoughts.
If you're a physics B student, take physics C.
It's
a great course.
Cool. Glad you took it.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
You like numbers more than letters, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
One more question for you then. We did some independent units throughout the year and some that were teacher-centric and some that were kind of a mix. As you were doing them, I know some people like the independent more than others. Now that it's all over, what do you think about the amount of the independent work compared to the amount of more of the team?
How much should there be?
Yeah, what sort of mix would you like to see, or would you think would be most effective doing it again?
Well, I thought what we did was pretty good.
I agree.
Like, yeah, a lot of the units that were like, we probably couldn't have
at the beginning of the year,
you're
just learning calculus at the beginning of the year. I think you really need a teacher
and
a classroom environment to get used to it. But then, so electrostatics and E&M, or then magnetics are very similar.
Right.
And so after learning electrostatics, it was kind of easy to...
Yeah, but I think we definitely needed a teacher for electrostatics. Like, when you first see Gauss's law, and you're starting to get into that, like...
Or Faraday's defined electric field.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it's nice having a teacher, you know, to go over stuff like that. But yeah, I liked we doing magnetic induction. That was a really good unit to do independently.
And I think any class should at least have the chance to do an independent unit so they can feel for themselves as a class if they like it or not.
Yeah, and I think, like they were saying, how electrostatics and magnetism were kind of along the same lines. Having done electrostatics in class and then going and doing magnetic induction independently, I think having some of those very similar concepts like, you know, Gauss's law for magnetism and Gauss's law, I think it helped back up what we were doing in class earlier.
Yeah,
so it was nice to have that exposure, and then you're going back and figuring out yourself for a second time. So,
and how do you feel about confidence now heading off to college where you're going to have some amazing professors and you're also going to have other professors who lecture all quarter or semester on chicken farming when your test is on chemistry? Feel confident you can teach yourselves when you need to?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. And I know I'm going to be looking for study groups, definitely, and just finding people that love it too. And then I think that can be just as good as being in a classroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Well, thank you for your time and your thoughts. That'll wrap up this episode of the Physics in Action podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at physicsinactionpodcast@gmail.com. This episode has been sponsored by aplusphysics.com, a free website full of physics tutorials, activities, discussion forums, and blogs to help high school students master the fundamentals of physics. Thanks to Jeff Myers and 4Me2C for the intro and exit music, Tech. Music is brought to you courtesy of Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com.